Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. We're going to read verses 1 down through verse 23. It says, "Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which is I preached unto you, which also you have received, and wherein ye stand, by which also ye are saved, if you keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless you have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures, and that he was seen of Cephas, then of the 12. After that he was seen above 500 brethren at once, and of whom the greater part remain unto this present, but some are fallen asleep. After that he was seen of James, then of all the apostles. And last of all he was seen of me also, as one born out of due time. For I am the least of the apostles, that I am not meet to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God I am what I am, and his grace was bestowed upon me, was not in vain, but I labored more abundantly than they all. Yet not I, but the grace of God which was with me. Therefore, whether it were I or they, so we preach, and so ye believed. Now if Christ be preached that he rose from the dead, how say some among you that there is no resurrection of the dead? But if there be no resurrection of the dead, then Christ is not risen. If Christ be not risen, then our preaching is vain. Our faith, or your faith, is also vain. Yea, we are found false witnesses of God, because we have testified of God that he raised up Christ, whom he raised not up, if so be that the dead rise not. For if the dead rise not, then is not Christ raised. If Christ be not raised, your faith is vain. Ye are yet in your sins. Then they also which are fallen asleep in Christ are perished. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are all of men most miserable. But now in Christ, is Christ risen from the dead, because the first fruits of them that slept? For since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. But every man in his own order, Christ the first fruits, after they that are Christ at his coming." Let's pray. Lord, we thank you today for your many blessings. Speak to our hearts now, Lord, as we go through the Scriptures. Speak to our hearts and help us take something today with us to apply it to our lives. We'll thank you, praise you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. The resurrection of Jesus Christ is of utmost importance and is one of our foundational beliefs or doctrines. We see there in chapter 15 and verse 3 and 4, this is the gospel, which is death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. That is the gospel. That's what we preach to people. Apart from the resurrection of Christ, there is no hope. Apart from Christ, there is no hope. If Jesus did not rise from the dead, then we are no better off than lost sinners. If Jesus did not rise from the dead, then the Bible is a lie and we have no hope. If Jesus did not rise from the dead, then we have no gospel to preach, no Savior to preach about. We are, as Paul says there, we are all men most miserable in verse 19. If there were no resurrection, Jesus would be guilty of deception. John chapter 2 and verse 19. John chapter 2 and verse 19. It says, "Jesus answered and said unto them, Destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up. Then said the Jews, 46 years was this temple in building, and wilt thou rear it up in 3 days? But he spake of the temple of his body." He was telling them in advance that he was going to die, going to be buried for 3 days, and then was going to raise up in 3 days. But they took it as he was talking about the temple, which they said took 46 years. And then John chapter 10, verse 17 and 18. John 10, 17 and 18. It says, therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life, that I may take it again. No man take it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. This commandment have I received of the Father. So many times over, he was talking about his death, burial, and resurrection. So if there is no resurrection, Jesus would be guilty of deception. If we were to destroy the resurrection, then Jesus would be reduced to just an ordinary man. He would no longer be God. In Romans chapter 1 and verse 4, Romans chapter 1 and verse 4, starting in verse 1, it says, Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated unto the gospel of God, which he had promised before by his prophets in the Holy Scriptures, concerning his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, which was made of the seed of David according to the flesh, and declared to be the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection from the dead. The only thing that keeps everything in place and brings everything to realization is the resurrection. Because of Christ resurrecting from the dead, we have a hope. We have a salvation today. There's nobody else in the world, no other religion in the world like ours, because we believe in a risen Savior and he's alive today. See, the devil's goal is to get man or mankind to discredit and not believe the resurrection, and inadvertently to get them to the point to where they doubt and they don't get saved. Let's turn to Mark chapter 12. Mark chapter 12 and verse 18. Mark 12 and verse 18. See, the doubt started before Christ ever did go to the cross, and before he did rise from the grave. There was already doubt that there was even a resurrection. Mark chapter 12, verse 18, it says, then come unto them the Sadducees, which say there is no resurrection. And they asked him, saying, Master, Moses wrote unto us, if a man's brother die and leave his wife behind him and leave no children, then his brother should take his wife and raise up seed unto his brother. Now there were seven brethren. The first took a wife and dying left no seed. The second took a wife, died, neither left any seed, and the third likewise, and it went all the way down to seven. And the seventh had her and left no seed, and last of all, the woman died also. But then Jesus said in verse 23, or, well, he responded in verse 24, but in the resurrection, therefore, when ye shall rise, whose wife, this is the question they're posing to him, whose wife shall she be of them, for the seven had her to wife? And Jesus answering said unto them, Do you not therefore err, because you know not the Scriptures, neither the power of God? For when they shall rise from the dead, they shall neither marry nor are given in marriage, but are as the angels which are in heaven. And as touching the dead, they that rise, have you not read in the book of Moses how in the bush God spake unto him, saying, I am the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob? He's not the God of the dead, but the God of the living. Ye therefore do greatly err. But they started doubting before Christ was ever crucified. The Sadducees were the ones in the group that always were fighting against the Pharisees and the other people of the law, the scribes. They were the ones always causing doubt, always complaining because they did not believe in the resurrection. Even some in the church doubted whether there was even a resurrection. And we read that in chapter 15 of 1 Corinthians, verse 12. He says, now if Christ be preached that he rose from the dead, how say some among you that there is no resurrection of the dead? So there was people then in the early church really questioning whether there was a resurrection. But we know that the resurrection is true because why? Because God's word tells us. So first of all, we see in verse 4 the prophecy of his resurrection. The prophecy of his resurrection. And that he was buried, that he rose again the third day according to what? The scriptures. According to the scriptures. There was no surprise of the resurrection. It had been predicted. It was foretold in the Old Testament. It had been predicted. The psalmist in Psalm 16 spoke of the resurrection. Psalm 16. In verse 10. It says, "For thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt thou suffer thine Holy One to see corruption." And that was speaking of the resurrection. This is the psalmist back in the time before the New Testament times, before Christ came to this earth as a Savior, as the Messiah. But then we also see that Christ talked about it, or that he was the Savior, in Matthew chapter 12. It was before he went to the cross. Matthew chapter 12, verse 38. This is where the scribes and the Pharisees were seeking a sign. And the Lord Jesus, he used an example of the scriptures from the Old Testament. But it says there in verse 38, it says, "Then a certain of the scribes and the Pharisees answered, saying, Master, we would see a sign from thee. But he answered and said unto them, An evil and an adulterous generation seeketh after a sign. There shall no sign be given to it, but the sign of the prophet Jonas. For as Jonas was 3 days and 3 nights in the whale's belly, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the earth. The men of Nineveh shall rise in judgment with this generation and shall condemn it, because they repented at the preaching of Jonas, and behold, a greater than Jonas is here." That's speaking of himself. "The queen of the south shall rise up in the judgment with this generation and shall condemn it, for she came from the uttermost parts of the earth to hear the wisdom of Solomon. And behold, a greater than Solomon is here." So we see here that he told of his of the resurrection there when he referred to the prophet Jonas. And if we were to go back to the book of Jonas, book of Jonah, we would see where he was in the belly of the whale for 3 days and three nights, and he referred to that to show what was going to happen or take place in the future. And then we see there in Mark chapter 8 and verse 31, Mark chapter 8 and verse 31, it says that he began to teach them that the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected of the elders and of the chief priests and of the scribes and be killed, and then after 3 days, so they're talking about his resurrection, but after 3 days rise again. So again, he foretold this, that he was going to rise again. That's the reason when they put the seal, we're going to get to that a little later, they put the seal on the tomb, they put two soldiers there because they were afraid somebody was going to steal his body and try to prove that Christ rose from the dead. Well, he didn't need nobody's help. John chapter 2, verses 17. It says, "And his disciples remembered that it was written, The zeal of thine house hath eaten me up. Then answered the Jews and said unto him, What sign showest thou unto us, seeing that thou doest these things? Jesus answered and said unto them, Destroy this temple," he was speaking of himself, "in 3 days I will raise it up. And then said the Jews, 46 years this temple was in building, and wilt thou rear it up in 3 days? But he spake of the temple of his body." So, again, he foretold, he told about the resurrection. He told about him rising the third day. We see not only was the resurrection no surprise, but the resurrection was pictured before it took place. And this we're going to go back to Genesis chapter 22. Genesis chapter 22, briefly. Genesis 22. This, again, is a picture of Christ. Starting in verse 1, it says, "And it came to pass at these things that God did tempt Abraham and said unto him, Abraham, and he said, Behold, here am I, here I am. And he said, Take now thy son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I tell thee of. Abraham rose up early in the morning, and saddled his ass, and took two of his young men with him, and Isaac his son, and clave the wood for the burnt offering, and rose up, and went unto the place which God had told him. Then on the third day Abraham lifted up his eyes, and saw the place afar off. Abraham said unto his young men, Abide ye here with the ass, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship and come again to you." That right there, he's speaking about the resurrection. It's being foretold. And then it says, "And Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it upon Isaac his son. He took the fire in his hand and the knife, and they both went them together. And Isaac spake unto his father and said, My father... And he said, Here am I, my son. And he said, Behold the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb of the burnt offering? Abraham said, My son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. So they went both of them together." And that's exactly what he did. This was a picture of the coming Christ. This is the picture. God will provide himself a lamb. He told his servants to wait there. Him and the child would go up to worship God, and they would come back. So whether God had Abraham, he was just testing his obedience. But whether he allowed him to sacrifice Isaac or provide him a lamb, he says, "I and the lad will go yonder and worship and come again to you." So that means he was coming back with the lad. So he trusted, he believed God. That's why it says it was accounted unto him for righteousness. Job chapter 19 and verse 25 says, "For I know my Redeemer liveth, and that he shall stand at the latter day upon the earth." And then we go back to 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 52 through 57. 15:52 through 57, it says, "In the moment, in the twinkling of an eye, the last trump, for the trump shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed, for this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when the corruptible shall put on incorruption, this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall he shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, Death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ." And how he delivered the keys. He got back the keys of death and hell from Satan. And when he rose from the grave, he defeated all of his enemies. And that's what this is picturing. We can have victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. We see the only sign that Jesus talked about was Jonah. He gave that sign to them as they were trying to discredit the resurrection. We see the prediction of the resurrection and the fulfillment of its proof that Jesus is worthy to be followed and worshipped. Because he has resurrected. He was 100% God in the flesh. I've got a little illustration here I wanted to share with you. One day a little girl proclaimed her faith as a Christian. A mocker nearby responded by saying, "Which Christ? Aren't there many?" Her answer was a classic. She said, "Sir, there are many pretenders, but I worship the one which rose from the dead." Christ has risen from the dead. That's why we can sing the song, "He Lives." Why? Because we know He lives within our hearts. He has been resurrected from the dead. So we see the prophecy of his resurrection through the scripture, but now we see the proof of his resurrection. We're going to see that in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 5 through 8, the proof of his resurrection. It says, and that was seen. It talks about the gospel here in a nutshell, verses 3 and 4. It says, for I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ had died for our sins, according to the scriptures, that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day, according to the scriptures. So now we see the proof of the resurrection. It says, and that he was seen of Cephas, and then of the 12. And that he was seen above 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain unto this present, but some are fallen asleep. And after that he was seen of James, and then of all the apostles. And last of all, he was seen of me, also as one born out of due time. And he's referring to his conversion on the road to Damascus. Paul seeing Christ as Christ spoke to him. So we see the proof of human reasoning. We see the Roman guard and the seal. And that's in Mark chapter 16, verses 1 through 14. We're not going to actually go there, but they sealed it, and then they posted two guards out there. See, the fear and the weakness of the disciples, they couldn't steal the body. The Romans wouldn't steal the body. So through this, we know the only person capable, and he didn't steal the body, he brought him back from the dead, and that was God. We see that in Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 20. Hebrews 13 and verse 20. It says, now the God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant. He brought him back from the dead. We have the proof of human reasoning. We have the proof of human testimony. We see that he was seen of multiple times there in the scriptures, verses 5 through 8. It was not a hallucination. They seen him in bodily form, risen from the dead. There was proof of human nature. See, people are not willing to die for something they do not believe in. Yet the disciples were willing to give up everything, including their lives, because they believed that Jesus was alive. There's proof of human nature. Proof of common experience. The disciples were saddened by the death of Jesus and hiding in fear, yet 3 days later, they were happy and filled with the power of the Holy Spirit. The only explanation is he rose from the dead. The proof of changed lives. The disciples that were forever transformed after the resurrection. And we remember Peter at one point was denying Christ. But yet, in the book of Acts, Peter's leading the disciples and he's preaching Christ. And the proof of changed lives in our own lives. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 17. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 17. It says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 17. There's proof of changed lives. God changes our lives. There's proof of my own life. I can sit and give testimony to it for the last several years, or since I've been saved, God has changed my life. There's proof of time. There's proof of time. Time is a great leveler. Another illustration I want to use is Dr. Harry Rimmer was lecturing in a certain place, and during the question and answer period, A Jewish man stood up and said to Dr. Rimmer, what did Jesus Christ do that no one else ever did? Dr. Rimmer answered him this way, sir, you are a Jew. Would you agree with me that the Romans crucified nearly 30,000 young Jewish men? The questioner answered in the affirmative. Dr. Rimmer continued by saying, all right, I will name one of those who were crucified and you name another. I named Jesus Christ. The student said, I can't name another. Do you know why this young man could not name another Jew out of those 30,000? Because time is the great leveler of names. and events, only one crucified Jew is known to men, and his name is Jesus. He's remembered because why? He lives. You can look at all these different religions, and each one of their leaders is dead and gone. But Jesus still lives. See, nobody hates a dead man. When people die, hate is forgotten. Yet Satan hates Jesus, the world hates Jesus, the demons hate Jesus. So why attack a dead man? If Jesus is dead, then we're all crazy and ought to be locked up. The proof of time. The proof of five senses. We go to Luke chapter 24. Luke chapter 24. Luke chapter 24, verses 39. The proof of five senses. Behold my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. Handle me and see, for the Spirit hath not flesh and bones, as ye see me have. And when he had thus spoken, he showed them his hands and his feet. While they were yet believed not for joy and wondered, he said unto them, Have ye here any meat? And they gave him a piece of broiled fish and of a honeycomb, and he took it and did eat before them. He said unto them, These are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses and in the prophets and in the Psalms concerning me. Then opened he their understanding, that they might understand the Scriptures. And he said unto them, Thus it is written, and that it is behooved Christ to suffer to rise from the dead the third day, and the repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And ye are witnesses of these things. So he showed them his hands and his feet, so they were able to see it. He told them to, he told Thomas, because Thomas didn't believe. He wanted to put his finger in the holes of his hand, put his hand in the side, his side. But he says, Behold my hands and my feet, that I may, that it is I myself. Handle me and see. He give proof of himself. They seen, they heard, they felt, and tasted. He says, a spirit cannot eat. And he did eat. See, that's one thing that distinguishes us from the rest of other religions. I call it Christianity. I call it a relationship with Christ. I don't believe we have a religion. But we serve a risen Savior, and we believe in a bodily resurrection. One day he's going to resurrect us, those who fell asleep in the Lord, and then one day at the rapture, we're going to be raptured up to meet him in the air. But there's proofs of the five senses. There's proof of scientific and archaeological evidence. Gordon's tomb, the soil was examined, and it was determined that nobody ever decomposed in that tomb. And this is the tomb, they named it, that Christ had laid in. Littleton in West, they set out to disprove the conversion of Paul and the resurrection of Jesus, and both wound up being saved. Science and archaeological evidence proves that Christ lived, and they've never found his body, and nobody stole it. He is risen. The proof of his resurrection. And lastly, and quickly, we're going to look at the purpose of the resurrection. Verses 13 through 23 of 1 Corinthians chapter 15. The purpose of the resurrection. Verse 14, it says, And if Christ be not risen, then our preaching is vain, and your faith is also vain. See, a dead Savior saves nobody. The purpose of the resurrection, it activates the gospel. The gospel hasn't preached until we have told the death, burial, and resurrection. That's the key there, verse 3 and 4. As I delivered unto you, first of all, that which I received, how that Christ had died for our sins according to the Scriptures. See, if we believe the Scriptures, we're going to believe that Christ rose, died, and was buried, and rose again rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. So it activates the gospel. In verse 14 and verse 17, we see, and if Christ be not raised, your faith is vain, and yet ye are yet in your sins. See, it authenticates our faith. The resurrection says that we believe, that what we believe has power and gives hope and peace. If we believe in Christ, He is our only hope. Today we're living in uncertain days because of this virus. The whole world is out there and without hope. There's been people killing themselves because of they feel like they have no hope. They feel like they're closed in. People are fearful because why? They don't know where they're going to go when they die. But if we read the Scriptures, it authenticates our faith. The resurrection has power. Not only does it have power, but it gives us hope and peace. Why? Because we know we're serving a risen Savior. It arranges our justification. Romans chapter 4 and verse 25. It arranges our justification. It says, who was delivered for our offenses and was raised again for our justification. Christ had to rise from the dead. He lives. God had accepted His death as payment for the sins of all who will put their faith in Him. Remember what I said, Romans 3:23. I can't quote it up. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. When I say it comes short, nothing we ever can do will God accept as payment for our sins. But Christ, because He was perfect, because He rose from the grave, it arranges our justification. He was raised again for our justification. When it means justified, we're being made right in the eyes of God. It says, therefore, being justified by faith, in chapter 5, verse 1, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. And it's by faith in what? The death, burial, and resurrection of Christ, the gospel. It anticipates the future. We see that in verses 22 and 23. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. But every man in his own order, Christ the first fruits, afterward they that are Christ at His coming. Jesus is our guarantee. Because He rose from the grave, He's our guarantee. Because He lives, we shall live also. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Verses 16 and 17. It says, for the Lord Himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, and with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds and to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. We have something to look forward. We anticipate the future. We have something to look forward to. He's coming back. Because He lives, there's also a reunion someday. As we see there in verse 13, it says, but I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with Him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. And then He goes on and tells us that He's coming back. The dead in Christ shall be raised first, and then we which remain will be caught up together in the air. We have hope that He's coming back. John chapter 14, verse 1. John 14, verse 1. This is another good passage. Let not your heart be troubled, but ye believe in God, believe also in Me. In My Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. If I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto Myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. Whither I go, ye know, and the way you know. And then Thomas says in verse 5, says, Thomas said unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest. How can we know the way? Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. See, Jesus is, because he lives, the purpose of the resurrection. It activates the gospel. It authenticates our faith. It arranges our justification. And it helps us anticipate for the future. We have something to look forward to. We have a hope. One day, that Christ is coming back. And I believe it's soon, because of everything coming around us. There's signs of the end times. And I'm not a doomsdayer, but I do believe that Christ is coming back soon. We don't know when, because he tells us we cannot know when. But we see one last scripture, Matthew chapter 28, verse 6. It says, he is not here, for he is risen, as Christ said. Or as he said, come, see the place where the Lord lay. Thank God, he is risen. So we've seen the prophecy of his resurrection from the scriptures. We see the proof of the resurrection, because there's many witnesses. And then we see the purpose of his resurrection. It's to activate the gospel. It's to help us be a witness of the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. It authenticates our faith. If we believe in the resurrection, it has power and it gives us hope and peace. It arranges our justification. We need to be made right with God. And then it gives us a hope of a coming Savior. It gives us a hope. He tells us he's coming one day for us. And it's going to be instantaneously. Let's pray.